This is the Midday 180, queued up by Edley's Barbecue, with Jonathan Hutton, Chad Withrow, and Paul Kuharski on 104.5 The Zone.
Live from Edley's Barbecue, Sylvan Park, the SEC tailgate kickoff show. We just had the VolQuest Hour. We'll look ahead to Tennessee and South Carolina kickoff tomorrow right here on The Zone. Also, Titans and Vikings noon kickoff on Sunday from Minneapolis on Titans Radio. Alongside Paul Kuharski and Chad Withrow, I'm Jonathan Hutton. Kirby Allen, Kirby making the show for us here. JT and Jonathan Schaefer back at our Nashville studios, in for David Reed today. Lucas Panzeca making it happen for 104.5thezone.com.
Some season ticket holders in attendance today. Shout out to Shane Train. Shout out to
Shane,
Jordan, who's here. Shout out to Herbie, who was here earlier.
Herbie,
who's in the midday one.
Not to be mistaken
with Kirby. Also, we've given away our final two spots to take batting practice with the Sounds at First Horizon Park this Tuesday. There's Herbie, as I just gave him a shout out. But someone came up earlier, the second person, said, "Oh, I thought I had to be a season ticket holder to be eligible for this." And I said, the season ticket holder is more of a spiritual thing,
yes,
than an actual literal thing. If you listen to us and you heard us and you knew about this event and want to take batting practice with us, that makes you a season ticket
holder.
Ours
are mobile, but we don't send them out.
Well, he thought that it was more of a, like, he had to be in the club. He said, where do I register to be a season ticket member? I said, no, you are.
Yeah.
You'll know. You know now. You're a season ticket member, and he'll be joining us at batting practice also.
Yeah, our ticket getting process is much simpler than the Titans has been
yes,
this week.
Yes.
Whew. Is that over yet?
Buffalo, no, it's over at the end of the day. Buffalo and Houston tickets are very limited as of an hour ago, I was told.
And Pittsburgh sold out yesterday?
Yes. One thing that the Titans have had that has been missing in the last three games, maybe the Jacksonville game's a little bit of a stretch, and Blake Bedingfield points this out in the piece that's up at paulkuharski.com previewing this game. They've been missing Adoree Jackson, one of their five best players, arguably. Denver was missing its best player, Von Miller, and that was the first game without him. Missing Sutton, one of their very best players. A.J. Boye fell out during that game, one of their very best players, probably their best cornerback. Jaguars were playing their second game without Yannick Ngakoue. And Minnesota tomorrow playing without Anthony Barr, without Danielle Hunter, who's out on IR to begin the season, and without Michael Pierce, who opted out. The Titans have fallen in pretty good line with these three teams in terms of them missing key pieces. That's been good fortune. Titans not completely healthy by any means. Adoree Jackson has been certainly missed. But in terms, if you're stacking up what the Titans are missing and what these teams are missing, I think you'd say the Titans are well ahead on that. And this has worked to the Titans' favor so far. It certainly will work to the Titans' favor to not see Hunter and Barr and that nobody's seeing Pierce. But obviously, you take that away. Blake says the Titans should dominate. The Titans' offensive line should dominate Minnesota's defensive front the way the Colts did last week.
The Colts had 9 quarterback pressures last week. 8 of the 9 came against that center guard triangle on the interior of the offensive line.
And a lot of lateral moving them around.
So we did not, to be fair, we didn't call Jeffrey Simmons' name last week until the final snap when he batted that pass in the
right end. And the things he were doing were run, not pass.
Just because we're not calling his name doesn't mean he was not effective. He's getting doubled. That's effective in some ways.
But he wasn't nearly the player he was the week before.
For other players to win some one-on-one battles more consistently.
Absolutely.
That's the expectation in Minnesota.
And Vic Beasley, I don't know. Look, I don't know what your expectations are. I don't have very high expectations. So go out there and surprise me. I'm expecting minimal stuff from Vic Beasley. I mean, the guy
I'm expecting
hasn't done
something.
Anything.
Well,
something more than Kamale Correa.
Yeah.
What? Yeah, exactly. And I'm also expecting less is more from who Beasley will help out with the reps, with Landry and with Clowney.
But are they going to take Clowney off the field? The initial indication is no.
Well, if they don't, they can at least rush him up the middle more.
Is that less wear and tear? Is that less?
No,
is that going to make them less?
No,
tired?
But that's where Minnesota's vulnerable.
Yeah,
to my point.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
So.
Agreed. But are they vulnerable to a tired Jadeveon Clowney? Nobody's vulnerable to a tired Jadeveon Clowney, from what I've seen.
They're vulnerable out of to him a, when he's a Clowney tired. Once every five snaps.
Right, like I agree with you.
The energy that he brings, one out of every five snaps.
But the hands on
the problem though
the
is the five
hips,
snaps
tired guy.
To get to that snap.
Right. Yeah,
the and hands, then in that fifth snap is he. Okay to go.
The hands on the hips tired guy does not fit the MO of what I'm expecting from this team.
I think you
and
get
I think
a
you
better...
got to get him to the sideline more often. Vrabel said yesterday, I this is the first time I've gotten all these snaps questions. This is like a new thing to me. To which I wanted to jump back on and say, we're asking you snaps questions because the guy's not he's clearly
tired. Yeah.
And because Correa's playing 12 snaps, he's not good, but I would think at some point, there's diminishing return.
Well, also, too, like the next level of what we're observing Sunday is we have not seen them dial up the pressures and have the aggressive mentality we saw with Dean Pease from that second and third level of the defense yet.
And Dean Pease told us very clearly why.
When does that happen as we progress within the defense we're seeing this year if you need to get after the quarterback?
Well, who's the best blitzer back there? In my eyes, it's Kenny Vaccaro. And if you take Kenny Vaccaro out of last week's defense to go blitz, you're losing the best guy on the back end.
I would still take Kevin Byard on the back end over Kenny Vaccaro.
No, I agree. But if you're taking one of the two best guys out of the back end when the corners are all struggling, you're really opening yourself up to some problems. And I thought one of the best things Dean Pease said to us is when you start thinking blitz, you think from the back forward. And we know what the Titans have in the back right now. It's not very good. Now, you get Adoree back into the mix. You get Chris Jackson and Christian Fulton more up to speed. And I'm saying those names in reverse order for a reason, because right now they're operating in reverse order. And you get all these guys not dinged. You get a calf healthy on Jonathan Joseph. You get a quad healthy on Malcolm Butler. I don't even remember what Jackson's thing is. But you got three guys on the injured list.
Hamstring.
You know, there's a lot going on there. They're holding it together.
Chad, during the break, I brought these cornhole boards, the Midday 180 cornhole boards. We're going to throw some bags during the break.
Throw some bags.
Bags will be tossed. Hats will be banged. That's what's going to happen for the remainder of this show. Both will happen. By the way, Catfish Jake just rolled up. Huge thanks to Catfish Jake.
He's a giver.
Who gave me, this is like a tin decanter is how I would describe this.
Yes.
And it says on it, Withrow, premium aged, banging hats, established 1982, finest quality, limited edition.
I have to say.
And he gave me the Bellmead Bourbon Reserve bottle to pour into this fine decanter.
It's a classy, classy gift. But can I say this? Can I critique the gift just a little bit?
No. No, you cannot. There's no.
I'm going to anyway.
This is a complete surprise gift. You're not going to critique
lovely.
It at all.
And I love my gift. I got a bottle as
it's
well.
It's my gift. You're not critiquing. I just said no.
Oh, I'm going to.
You asked for permission. I said no.
I asked for permission, but it was kind of like rhetorical permission.
Jake is right here, too, by the way. Tell him what
Jake,
you don't like about the gift.
Here's the thing about this gift, if I may. Chad, when he pours the booze out of the bottle, it's much more likely to go straight into his mouth than it is to go into the decanter.
That
I don't know
true.
That the liquor will ever touch the decanter.
Well,
it's more decorative.
This is a like bookshelf. This is going to go on a bookshelf
right.
or somewhere
yeah.
behind me.
You can put
me,
some water in there.
In Zoom every day. Whatever we're doing, it's going to go somewhere that's visible.
Right.
It's a great conversation piece.
Right. But there's not going to be booze in
Jake,
it.
Jake, thank you. You're the man. I love you.
Kirby would store mouthwash in that.
Yes.
Mouthwash slash...
A scotch.
Yeah. Yeah. What's it? Doers.
Doers.
Most would call it scotch. Kirby would call it mouthwash.
Both. Does two jobs. Gets him drunk and cleans the breath.
615-737-1045, our number.
Let's take some calls. We got Titans on Sunday. We've got Vols tomorrow. We've got Vanderbilt going to College Station.
Boy, the talk about
take
that
take on A&M.
It's through the roof. The city's abuzz.
Our guy Timmy over here. It is Timmy, right?
Jimmy.
As I said it, I knew I had
that was
letter
Kurowski-esque.
Wrong. I was looking at Hutton for a confirmation. He's like,
he left you hanging out.
Jimmy Clark. Job. Our guy Jimmy Clark over here, a Vandy
Jimmy
guy.
Goes by Timmy.
He's excited about the game tomorrow. Let's talk about it. 615-737-1045. We can talk Titans. We can talk Vols. We can talk Vandy. We can talk SEC. Whatever you want to get into. 737-1045. We can talk to Cantors if you'd like. 737-1045.
And then, JT, later, Trivia Trifecta, just for you.
Midday 180 queued up by Edley's Barbecue, 104.5 The Zone.
Did 104.5 The Zone actually hire a guy who protected Ben Roethlisberger for 11 years? Yeah, that happened. But hey, he's still a Vol for life. Get J-Mart and Ramon Foster Monday morning from 6 to 9 on 104.5 The Zone.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Midday 180 queued up by Edley's Barbecue. Today live from Edley's Sylvan Park, our location.
We're having a great time out here. Big thanks to our listeners who came out today. Having a good time eating some good food. We're going to be enjoying some batting practice with the Sounds coming up on Tuesday. We filled those last two spots for that event earlier today. Phone lines are open now. Let's close out the week with some phone calls previewing the weekend.
Every line available.
Whatever you want to talk about. Titans, Vols, return of SEC, Vanderbilt. Plenty to get into for this upcoming weekend. Give us a call, 615-737-1045, 737-1045. One note on the Tennessee Vols that I wanted to bring up, because we ended the Power Hour with Austin Price and Brent Hubbs talking about Henry Toto. That is the one guy that if he goes down, guys, it could get ugly for Tennessee on defense. That is the one irreplaceable player that I see on that roster.
Austin has said that all offseason. He said, you know, it's Trey Smith on offense, although they're deep. Offensively, he's NFL caliber immediately. And then Toto is the irreplaceable player defensively.
They're not hurting nearly as badly if Trey Smith goes down. It's a big loss because he's such a great player and he's a great leader for the team. But they're hurting from a depth standpoint and getting in the right calls and getting people lined up properly. Just like they were hurting last year without Daniel Batuli in that spot for the first couple games against Georgia State and BYU, they will be hurting big time if Henry T goes down this year. So that is something, I know Tennessee fans don't need to hear that, but that's one that you cross your fingers on and hope that that guy stays healthy throughout this year, because he is a big part of what they're going to do defensively. Phone lines open if you want to jump in, 615-737-1045, 737-1045.
I'm going to miss the first portion of the SEC schedule, traveling to Minnesota.
You get to go this week.
Yeah, we'll be in attendance at the stadium for Sunday for Titans radio coverage. We go live at 11 a.m. Sunday morning for Titans and Vikings coverage. But I'm going to miss, I think, one of the better games of the weekend, which is Kentucky and Auburn.
Yeah, I've got T-ball at 10:30 a.m., so I'll be home to see the second half of that game because it's an 11 a.m. SEC Network kickoff. By the way, SEC Network, they got the sweet deal this week. Yeah. They get Auburn, Kentucky, and Tennessee, South Carolina.
Means more to them.
But those are the two best games of the week, I think, hands down, in the SEC. I would have been deciding between those two for the CBS game of the week. Instead, they want Mike Leach in his SEC debut against the defending national champion. I get that, too. But, man, I would have gone from a point spread standpoint and just from what could be a good game, I'd have gone Tennessee, South Carolina, or Auburn, Kentucky.
I'm on a 3 o'clock flight, and I imagine I'll be watching UT on my iPad, which should give me everything.
It will.
You know, I can watch my home TV.
Yeah.
Well, also, if you just have an ESPN account, you can watch anything on the SEC Network like you would on ESPN. So when you go to the scores, it'll have the video of the game on there because it's on SEC Network.
By the way, speaking of ESPN, I mean, I log into my damn fantasy account, and I get an email now saying somebody's logged into my Disney account, which we talked about. But every time I log in to check my pick'em pool or my fantasy teams, I get a two now from work every time I log into my Outlook
account. Why do you have to log in every time? I just stay logged in to my fantasy.
I feel like I stay logged in too, but apparently. Also, it's National Daughter's Day, so happy Father of a Daughter Day to you.
Not a great father moment for me last night at the T-ball game. Back-to-back nights for T-ball for the first time. We played, and it was...
He didn't play.
Coach Courtney and I were talking about it. Coach Courtney is basically the head coach of our team that pitches to the kids. And we were both ready to whip some kids last night. It was one of those nights where there was no patience, no concentration from the kids playing T-ball, and the parents' patience was running thin from start to finish, to the point where we were just putting kids in timeout, taking them off the field and giving them to their parents.
Did you send them over to the boys?
This kid won't listen. He's just playing in the dirt and won't even acknowledge, so get off the field. Because we're afraid that some of these kids were swinging the bat hard enough where they're going to get hit. not paying any attention at all. So it was a rough night all around. But yeah. Evie got a hit her second time up off the pitcher.
Got to maintain some.
I only count hits if she hits
order.
It off the pitcher, not off the tee.
The only player not seen at Titans practice today on the field is A.J. Brown. Vic Beasley practiced all week, including today. Derek Roberson, who's missed the last 2 days with an illness, he was back on the practice field today. Malcolm Butler and Chris Jackson also practiced. They were on the injury report yesterday as limited. And again, no A.J. Brown. He's missed the entire week of practice. And Adoree Jackson remains on IR. Let's go to Jim.
And I'm getting on Zoom with Vrabel right now. I'll tell you exactly what he says.
Yeah, we'll have the full injury report. Hey, Jim, what's up?
Hey, guys. I hope you guys are all happy and healthy today. I had a question for PK. Wondering what the latest was on Isaiah Wilson and his condition with practicing with the team. And second part, Laurel Murchison. Why haven't we talked about him, and what is going on with him? And I'll hang up and listen to your answer.
I don't know how many snaps Laurel Murchison played last week, but
he was inactive the first week. Yeah. What's going on with him? He's a fifth round draft pick who's not high in the pecking order yet.
He's working into the rotation.
Didn't play great last week. I mean, I think it was Blake who said when the first two guys came out, Simmons and Daquan, that the run defense dropped off substantially.
And as for Isaiah Wilson, he remains on the COVID list. Although Vrabel was asked directly about him yesterday, saying that, hey, the time has surpassed to where he would be eligible to return from the COVID list. And they asked for an update. And I believe it may have been Eric who asked. And Vrabel said he remains on the COVID list.
Yeah, that was the entire answer.
That's all we know.
I think much to their glee.
I mean, that's the latest that we have on that. No one spotted him, to my knowledge, with the reports I've seen.
Mike Vrabel was in a very short mood yesterday with everything that we heard.
We'll get the full injury report in just a moment as Vrabel will lay out who is questionable, who's been ruled out, all of that. That's coming up. 615-737-1045, our number. 737-1045, if you would like to jump in. Vanderbilt on the road against Texas A&M, a 31-point underdog to open the season in the SEC. It's not easy week to week being Vandy anyway, but opening up against Jimbo Fisher with expectations that he has now in year three in College Station, things could get ugly.
Well, I think A&M's one of the four or five teams that could win the SEC this year. I think they're that talented and good. So this is tough for Vanderbilt. I will say, though, for Vanderbilt, the bar is awfully low. Because if they win one game, that's a pleasant surprise for people this year. I think 1-9 is going to be deemed a success for this Vandy team going into this season. I will nitpick a little bit here. I don't mind the, you know, we joke about the oars on the depth chart, the unofficial depth chart these SEC teams put out. And we joked about the amount of oars that would be on the Tennessee one, which surprisingly didn't feature as many oars of starters on the Tennessee depth chart as I would expect. But Derek Mason saying four guys could start on his depth chart for quarterback and listing all four quarterbacks as an or, and then immediately after that depth chart is listed, when he's asked about it, saying, well, we're down to two. We're not going to tell you which two, but we've been down to two for a while. Then just put the two on there. I don't know why you continue to put all four quarterbacks on there. Or just lie. If you're going to put that on the depth chart that you're handing to the media and then having a press conference, then just continue to go with the idea that it could be all four of them. Who knows?
So
we have no idea who's going to start. But he's such an honest guy. He just came around and said, no, we're down to two. We're now down to two guys. It's not four.
Todd Fitch is now calling the offense from Louisiana Tech, where they had that up-tempo, spread-it-out attack that averaged like 33 points per game last year.
Yeah, they want to play quick.
Well, I think that could be to their advantage. But the question is, like, okay, what's realistic in year one with the talent that he inherits against the talent he'll be facing?
It's going to be bad.
Yeah.
They're going to have some quick three and outs. That's what's going to happen.
Here's the other thing, though, Chad, because we've seen this year after year, for the most part. We didn't see it with Shurmur, but we've seen it for the most part, where the quick trigger on the quarterback carousel early in Derek Mason's tenure, we'd see no rhyme or reason to when the quarterback was going in or when that guy was coming out. if the third series it was playing for the backup to get the run in with the offense, it didn't matter if they were snapping the ball on the 8-yard line, the new quarterback was coming into the game. There needs to be a better rhythm with the decision-making of when to rotate the quarterbacks, because if you don't have one guy, you've got a number of players that are going to take snaps for Vandy. They need to rotate those more sensibly. Is that the word I'm looking for? Instead of just saying, okay, it's your turn to go in, let's take a look at the down and distance and take a look at where the possession begins before putting the backup in cold.
Well, Derek Mason, early on in his career, and we've seen this kind of throughout it at different times, he makes quarterback decisions just like you would expect a defensive-minded defensive coordinator to make quarterback decisions. Quick-tempered, gets fed up with his defense having to be on the field too much, and pulls the quarterback quickly and goes back and forth. Ultimately, he's going to have faith in the offensive coordinator, right? I mean, that's what you got to have, is someone who's going to control that side of the ball and make decisions, even at times at quarterback on that side of the ball. There haven't been a lot of reasons, though, to have full faith in the offensive coordinator under Derek Mason, where he's not gotten it right with hires. So that's the next step for Vandy. And I've said this for years. I like this up-tempo approach that they're going to try to have with a new offensive coordinator. At Vandy, you got to do it differently. It's either going to be a triple option, wing T type approach that you go with offensively, or an air raid, Mike Leach type, maybe the LaTeX system where you're playing really fast and throwing it all over the place and doing different things. You got to do something different. You're not going to out SEC powers at Vanderbilt. You've got to approach things differently. They're a very different institution in the SEC, being the lone private school. You've got to approach football the same way. You got to give the resources, first and foremost, necessary to be good, but you got to approach it like you're different at times. And I think that's how ultimately they're going to find success as a program.
We don't know the official opt-out number because he's been very broad in those numbers, but Vanderbilt, it seems like, has been affected the most with opt-out players in the conference.
Yeah, no, I think it's pretty clear. They've had more
opt-outs. Well, but I'm saying, like, other teams aren't necessarily reporting that, right? To the fullest extent. Some are keeping it close to the vest, like they are with COVID tests to begin with, or the contact tracing. But with Vandy, we do know they've had several players opt out.
Ricky in West End is saying Ken Seals, the freshman, will be the starter for Vandy.
True freshman.
And I like that approach because this season doesn't matter for Vandy. Derek Mason's not going to be judged on this season.
Get your reps.
And also, eligibility doesn't matter. So, yeah, get him out there. I mean, throw him into the fire, see what happens. The risk is that it's so bad that in some way you ruin his confidence. But quite frankly, if his confidence is ruined, then he's not the right guy for
the
job
anyway.
He's not
an SEC quarterback.
You don't want to get him hurt badly. Now, that's another risk. But, yeah, I hate that. Well, you don't want to wreck their confidence. Again, if you're going to completely wreck their confidence, then they're probably not ultimately the guy who's going to lead the program to do anything great anyways.
Paul, what is the latest from the Titans media availability?
Yeah, he said, I made the mistake of giving those out last week on this, and Robbie got mad at me, so it'll come out when it's on the thing. I said, well, who's in control of the injuries, Mike, you or Robbie? And he said, hey, can you go somewhere where I don't have to hear the radio guys in the background, the coffee clatch you have going on there? And I said, hey, Mike, are you going to instruct everyone where they have to do their job today? you're going to assign everyone where they're going to go? He said, no, just you.
JT,
so Mike and
can
I
we
are
please,
on great terms right now.
Can we please get audio? that's the first request.
Well, who could be heard in the background?
You guys, I guess, because it's on the microphone here.
Okay.
And Mike apparently can't concentrate if there's a little bit background noise. He couldn't focus enough to tell me that he's going to let Robbie take care of injuries.
Can you get the radio guys out of the background? It's great.
What he said the coffee what?
Clatch.
Crazy.
So he's big on
please find this
telling
audio,
us,
JT. Please.
Telling us he's the boss. He tells us he's the boss. But apparently Robbie is Robbie, who couldn't get Darren Bates to turn down his music for 2 minutes at a time, is now in control of the Titans' injuries.
It is a good comeback by you, Paul. I will say. That is a stout comeback to Mike Vrabel, with you guys exchanging barbs left and right during these press conferences.
Paul was in such a good mood prior to that, too.
Paul had such a positive energy all day, and then one
Scorched
Titan
earth.
Zoom conference. I could tell in Paul's face when he sat down. I knew something happened. The way well, you Paul, sat down without your headphones on, I knew something had happened.
So, no joke, Chad and I are sitting here, we're previewing Vanderbilt, Texas A&M, and I thought I could hear you ask a question, and then I heard you go, it was like a conversation. I'm like, oh, this is Paul arguing with Vrabel?
He said,
I didn't say that on air, but I thought I could hear you.
He said, I'll do you a favor, do you have another question? I said, no, my question is why is Robbie now in control of the injuries when you're the boss? And last week you were able to give us the injuries.
Your question should have just been, who's the boss? Yeah. Yeah, I've got a follow-up question. Who's the boss?
Nonsense.
I'm the captain.
Utter nonsense.
I'm the captain now. Say it back to me. I'm the captain
AJ
now.
AJ Brown is out. Let me announce to everyone, AJ Brown is out. I'll be Robbie and Mike. AJ Brown is out.
Is there some protocol they have to follow?
No. He can say whatever he wants whenever he wants. Protocol. Absolute nonsense. He's jerking me around because he wants me pissed off. And the mission accomplished.
Thank you, Braves.
Get you every time, Paul.
Appreciate you, Coach.
Meanwhile, of course, the rest of the people all sitting in there. Oh, look, Paul is engaged with Vrabel. The next question is, Coach, when you walk around on the field before the game, what kind of things do you like to think about?
Name names. Who asked that question?
Did he?
I didn't. I wasn't listening to anything else. I left my recorder.
Did he answer that
over
one?
There running? I don't know. I have to.
Hey,
check
that's
with
a great
Robbie.
Question. Good to hear a
Robbie,
question from an actual journalist.
Robbie, am I allowed to answer that question? Robbie, with your new granted authority vested in you by the Pope and Amy Adams Strunk.
Well, he does have a lot of authority. I mean, you're acting like he just prints papers over there.
Robbie has plenty of authority, but you know who it's granted by mostly? Mike Vrabel.
Was the question that was nice to Vrabel afterward immediately responded to with a, hey, thank you for being such a great journalist. This is what actual journalism sounds like. Just well, like last time you got a man.
There is one guy over there who starts Buck Rising, who starts everything. I really appreciate you doing this. I really appreciate you doing this. If we stopped every Zoom thing with appreciation or congratulations, every win, they've won two games now. Every single question starts with congratulations on the win. Now, if we took away congratulations on the win, we'd get two more questions with every guy.
It's like, how you doing?
Yeah. So, and when we walk around the locker room after a guy, not every single reporter congratulates every single player on the win. Let's move on. We're here to ask questions. Congratulations. I God forbid they lose on Sunday. Hey, man, I'm really, really sorry about the loss, but I've got to ask you this question. And then we'll have a commiseration festival, and we'll lose two questions.
Just like we're back at Edley's today, the arbiter of Titans media is back. He's back, baby. Paul Kuharsky, the arbiter,
I'm not here to arbiter
oh,
media.
No,
I'm here to arbiter Mike Vrabel.
You're getting both out of the way. I like it.
We get
like
the arbiter back whenever we're back live and in person. As it should be.
I got to go over to pick up my credential after this, but maybe they've taken it away. Robbie's vested with so much authority now. He might have pulled it.
Well, he could have done that anyway. That is his authority.
That is his line.
Paul, you're going to pick up your credential. It's going to have four letters on it. GTFO.
Paul just used an example of authority that Robbie would have.
Absolutely.
Robbie authority Warren.
Oh. Robbie did nothing to deserve the shrapnel.
Well, Vrabel threw him under the bus.
No, Vrabel propped him up. He didn't throw him under the bus.
He threw him under the bus for me to go at him.
It's not Paul's fault he went after Robbie. It's Vrabel.
It's Vrabel's fault.
We're the coffee what?
Clutch. Why can't you remember this more?
I wanted to say clutch.
Clutch. Coffee clutch.
The coffee clutch. Midday 180.
Hey, so don't just let me be pissed. You guys should be pissed at him. You too. He was talking
I'm happy
about
that
you.
You're pissed. This makes the show better when you get pissed.
He was talking crap about you.
No.
You got pissed.
I don't care.
Called you a coffee clap.
Hey, look, I'm holding on to coffee right now. He's not wrong.
Yeah. Hey, don't look at my Twitter account for injury information this week, today. I'm protesting.
Hey, just follow Robbie Borden.
I wish you could see Paul when he came over here. He came over here, Chad, with
the look in his eye.
It was the similar signal, and Paul, don't disagree. We know what this looked like. It was the similar signal to the Hightower news from the fake Schefter account.
Yeah,
we were talking SEC. You sat down and said, right here, I need the news right now.
You looked at us like, I've got something big, and you had this, your jaw, you could see your jaw clicking as you were looking over, like, bring it to me.
You didn't bring your computer back with you.
Well, because I left it recording.
And I was very urgent.
I have to hear the rest of Vrabel's.
I hope we're unmuted over there, by the way, too, and they're hearing this entire conversation.
They can mute. Robbie has the authority to mute.
The coffee clatch. Midday 180, queued up by Edley's Barbecue, 104.5 The Zone.
They all listen.
This is your home for Titans football.
Big Jeff, Jeffrey Simmons.
104.5 The Zone.
So you're ready for...
Midday 180, queued up by Edley's Barbecue. Online, edleysbbq.com. Yes, Edley's delivers. You can learn more about how you can check out their three locations, 12 Southeast Nashville, Sylvan Park, or their delivery options, edleysbbq.com.
David Shepard on Twitter says, was just listening to Midday 180 while ordering at the drive-thru, and the woman asked if I would turn down the coffee clatch in the background. Thanks, at Paul Kuharsky, NFL.
JT, well, it starts at 1:54.
There you go. Which is after Terry.
Were you before or after Terry?
And it turns out he's after Terry.
Sorry, I thought I was second. I was third.
How dare you tune out Terry after Jim? Paul was like, I'm after Wyatt.
Terry asked the famous question yesterday.
Jerry, please.
The long wind-up question about the status of Isaiah Wilson that ended with Mike Vrabel saying, yeah, he's on the COVID list. So what is the status? When do you expect him to come up? He's still on the COVID list.
We've all been there.
615-737-1045, our number, the Coffee Clatch.
Coffee Clatch. That's our new show.
See, I think of Linda Richman with a Mike Myers character on SNL. When I think of Coffee Talk, where she would get verklempt.
So,
and you'd have to talk amongst yourselves. That's what I'm thinking when I hear Coffee Clatch.
The Coffee Clatch refers to a group of friends getting together over a cup of coffee for gossip.
I think we just renamed
the
show.
He was being funny.
I love it.
Your response was great, Paul. The response would have been better if you'd have gone with what Josh said. That your follow up question should have been, "Yeah, can I speak with Robbie Bourne?"
Look, it's easy for everybody after the fact to come up with better material. In the moment, you got to be sharp.
That would have been a great comeback. Yes. Next question's for Robbie.
So I've got media colleagues now. What the hell does Robbie care whether Vrabel says who's out 2 hours before the report comes out?
Don't you think that Vrabel is having fun with that?
Yeah.
It's not actually.
Yes, but it's not fun. It's not fun when you're trying to get the news out.
Is the news out?
It's fun to him.
No. The news will be out at 2 or something like that.
So is it conceivable that he hasn't decided yet? Or?
No.
Oh, okay. I'm just trying to figure out why all of a sudden he won't release it today.
Because he's in the mood.
He wants something to hold over. That's what he wants.
He wants to jerk us around a little bit. It's fun for him.
Us or you? Like if someone else asks the question, is it answered today?
Let's then say that Wyatt and or Jerry should have asked the question.
Next time, just put Kirby on.
And Wyatt, you know, I'm talking mostly to Jerry.
Right. Oh, 615-737-1045, our number. JT, he does have it. Let's listen in.
Thank you, JT.
All right. I hope it's not as bad or it's better than I thought. I don't know.
At this point, if you're ready to declare anybody out.
No, Robbie got mad last week. I slipped up and I said a couple guys. Robbie excited and releasing the injury report, so we'll let him do that.
But Robbie will be fine. You're the boss.
If you're going to do this from your studio or whatever, like, can you go to like a quiet room so there's not like a bunch of background noise, Paul?
Are you instructing everyone on where they can do their job from today,
just
Mike?
Yours. It just continues to show up with yours when you start to ask a question. It's a bunch of guys at Coffee Talk.
Yeah, well, I think I can do it from wherever.
If you have another question outside the injury report, Paul, that I can maybe help you, with, I would love to answer it.
Thanks for your coaching, Mike. I appreciate it.
Did you have another question, Paul? I'm going to help you out.
No, I don't have another question, Mike. I want to know who's playing and who's not playing in the game, and you've given it to us in previous weeks, and it's you're moving the game.
I know. That's the one thing that we'll always have to do is we'll have to adjust and be ready to adapt, and Robbie will put it out whenever it's ready to be put out.
I like when you control it, not when Robbie controls it.
Well, I like it the other way.
There's head coach Mike Vrabel with today's Titans report.
It was coffee talk.
Coffee talk.
We all would have understood.
Yeah. You come with coffee.
He's coffee clatch. Clatch. I don't know what you're talking about. Coffee clatch. Where you got that?
I made it better.
Coffee talk.
He said coffee talk, and I made it better. How distracting was the background noise there? I mean, I don't know how he managed to answer any of that.
You could hear it. I could hear Hutton in the background.
You could hear me, too. Fine.
Yeah. It was busy in the background.
I loved it.
I like that Hutton made a cameo in the background of the Zoom call. Oh, this model here?
Yes. This very one.
No, this exact one.
It was tremendous. I mean, it's coffee talk.
I feel like our work here is done.
He's not telling anyone else.
The coffee talk reference was really good.
He's not telling anyone else where they could Zoom.
And I also like
he said every day. Where have I done this every day?
Paul, you got to give him credit, though. The pivot to here's what we got to do, Paul. We got to adjust on the fly.
Yeah.
We got to make things better.
No,
love how he was coaching you on, we got to make the adjustment now because things are changing.
Nobody's questioning Mike Vrabel's ability to be quick-witted and fast. Again, Paul, though, he said every day I'm somewhere. That's BS. Every day I'm in my office at home.
I'm going to do
you
a favor.
Or in my car.
It looks as though Vic Beasley's about to be available on Zoom for the first time.
Well, I'm going to go up there.
Because
I wonder if Robbie will call on me.
Well, I take that as a good sign, though, that he's playing Sunday.
Better turn off coffee talk.
If he's available today.
Hey, I got to leave coffee clatch behind.
Vrabel said they've seen enough to not have him on the injury report and as a full participant in practice.
Vrabel said that?
That's a quote from Eric Bacharach.
My God, he gave up something on injuries after he said he wasn't giving up anything on injuries.
Just despite you.
What a hypocrite.
Now, another quote, we'll see how it goes in the game. So that to me says he's playing.
I thought he said he wasn't saying anything about injuries until Robbie released it.
Well, he's saying that Beasley's not injured anymore. We've seen enough to not have him on the injury report.
But
so he's discussing a player that's not on the injury report.
Interesting. I should have asked him questions about, is so-and-so on the injury report? Is so-and-so on the injury report? Is so-and-so on, like I used to do with Jeff Fisher, is so-and-so still on the roster? Is so-and-so still on the roster?
I'm playing into what he's saying here. But it's a good sign as we wrap up that Beasley's available on Sunday. 2-0 Titans, 0-2 Vikings, and kickoff of Tennessee and South Carolina tomorrow night, 6:30.
I won't be called on early in Vic Beasley's thing because I'm going to say, Vic, where the hell were you for 10 days?
Hutton, you've got Hillsboro Pearl Cone tonight. On ITV30. Yep. 104.5 The Zone has got NBA at Innsworth. TNHighSchoolFootball.com has the top five Metro Nashville games of the week. And thankfully, Metro Nashville football is returning tonight.
We will be back on Monday to recap it all with the coffee clatch here on The Zone. And, hey, full coverage still to come this afternoon. Big thanks to Jonathan Schaefer and JT for making the show happen for us in David Reed's absence. Feel better, Reed. Kirby Allen Kirby making it happen here at Edley's Sylvan Park, where we are staying. We're not leaving. Time to eat. Midday with Eddie, queued up by Edley's Barbecue.
Don't block the box. Do lock the locks. Nice to meet you, Vic.
Friday Night Lights is our 104.5 The Zone game of the week as Montgomery Bell Academy at Ensworth. Will Bowling has the call. And Midday 180's Chad Withrow gets you started with the pregame show. Tonight at 6, presented by U.S. Army, the Tennessee Highway Safety Office, DTC Wireless, and TNHighSchoolFootball.com. On Nashville's home for high school football, 104.5 The Zone.